The Boy and the Dark, written by Raven of Hyde Castle, read by Mistborn Hero, a Batman podfic rated for general audiences, featuring Bruce Wayne's relationships with Tim Drake, Alfred Pennyworth, and Gotham City. It is tagged for Eldritch Horror, Batman and Alfred, Dark and Sapient Gotham City, Angst with a Happy Ending, Protective Bruce Wayne, Who is Not Okay, Grief, Mourning, Possession, Unhealthy Relationship between Local Cryptid Fury and the Sentient City He Lives In, Parent-Child Relationship, Accidental Baby Accusation, aka Tim. Bruce needs a hug, and he gets it. Tim is not okay, and a menace, and pretty young, and very tired, incredibly tired. Hopeful ending. Cryptid Bat Family. Womp. Healing. In the beginning, it was dark. Then, there was pain. Finally, anger. Back then, Batman did not have a name. Awareness was fleeting glances, new emotions, and the promise of more. Gotham had been young, born out of the hands of the seafarers that put down roots ashore and let their filth infect the river. The city was born bad, coughing on soot and mud as it clawed its way to sentience. Never to have the gentle beginnings of hope and prosperity, Gotham cemented its place on the coast with blood and iron. It should have been no surprise that its protection spirit took the tidings and made them its own. He used to be nothing more than bad blood spilled on cobblestones, the dying breath that whispered its killer's name, and the glare of a loved one at fellow mourners at a funeral, followed by the purchase of a gun, a knife, rat poison, anything to get even. Gotham did not want a spirit to keep its people safe. It wanted a monster to keep them in line. And for the longest time, that was what he was. Then, the factories got bigger, the smog worse, and he got a name. Batman. After the critters that flitted out of the fissures that dotted the city. Dark and grimy. Bad omens for terrible times. People whispered his name on lonesome walks and used the idea of him for their own gain. The more people that heard the tale, the more started to believe. And soon, Batman was not an impulse that urged people to hunt down their wrongdoers. He became a shadow, then a figment, then real. Batman stalked Gotham for decades, slowly growing stronger until he could stand under streetlights without his shadow fading, until his arms were made of flesh and sinew, until the white, lidless eyes that were his cowl could open in every corner of the city and every child knew his name. As he grew, his connection with Gotham changed. In the beginning, he had been its puppet. Concepts couldn't think for themselves, so he went where he was needed. But belief was a fickle thing, and soon people whispered that he wasn't just strong, he was clever, smart, and brave. He gained intelligence and competence, and soon he was tethered to Gotham rather than defined by it. Then he met Dick. Batman became Bruce, and the tether became a string, always tugging him back to his mission, but never defining him. No, Bruce had been his own man, free to make whatever choices he wanted, which he would down with relish. Then Jason died. Now, the string had been traded for chains. Gotham was done playing. It wanted its vengeance spirit back. Not Bruce, the weak man who had left the city and lost his bird, Batman. And Gotham would do whatever it took to make sure there was no longer a face behind the cowl. Torn away from Jason, janked through the shadows, flayed and scraped across the darkness until he was dragged unwillingly back to the depths of the city. Bruce dug his fingers into bedrock and tried to crawl free, but his skin was raw from the sun, and even underground he was not solid enough to fight against the invasive wrath filling his veins. Gotham enveloped him with alien shadows and writhed its essence back into its core. It ripped and tore at the heart he had made over the past 10 years, much like Talia had done when she had destroyed part of his cape. Bruce did not know if what he felt was the same pain humans did when they were injured, but the sensation of being unmade crippled him against the bedrock, gasping for air he didn't need. "No!" he gasped, trying to crawl forward. "Please, Jay." He had to get back to Ethiopia. Jason needed him. Except, it was getting harder to remember how he had left Gotham in the first place. Memories of Jay-Lad were being replaced with the screams of the unavenged, which he had been neglecting to parent his boys. Thoughts and care for the orphans he had given a home to were tugged out of his grip. In their stead were commands to fight and demands for blood. Make them pay. Gotham seethed. 1,000 snarls tangled together in the sound.
Make them hurt.
Bruce didn't want to. He just wanted his son. His Jason. Bruce needed to. But there was no Bruce. That name wasn't his own. Gotham ripped it away, and all that was left was Batman. Below that was the anger, and under that was the pain. Finally, below all else, was what he would always be. The dark, and the dark had no thoughts or feelings or memories. It didn't know how to love. Sensations, movement, snippets of time. He had a small collection of recollections, neglected and dull beneath his cowl. He had a cowl. Since when? He had fingers, too, running along the edge of it. Odd. Shadows didn't have these. He recalled strange things. Men in bizarre costumes, screaming that they hadn't done it. They would find the culprit instead if it meant making him stop. and to leave them alone. Hadn't done what? He didn't know. But they were bright colors, so he had to hate them. Gotham despised them all, especially the ones in purple and green. Eye for an eye, sometimes literally. Gotham sank in his blood, demanding more, more, until the streets were red. It liked that color, red and yellow. Didn't it also like jello? Or was that Batman? No. He only wore black. The city was bitter, and it wanted the world to choke on its own ashes. He couldn't think well, felt wrong, needed to think, to uncover truth. So vengeance would be just, instead of vindictive. But Gotham covered his eyes and kept him weak. He could only see what it wanted him to. Except, sometimes, there was something else in the corner of one of his eyes. A reflective gleam, a ratty coat. Something different. The different thing tried to talk to him once. Gotham didn't like that. It made Batman vanish it into shadows. He didn't know where it went. Didn't matter. It was gone. That's what counted. The city was weeping. Everything was red. Batman remembered another time Gotham had been like this. Long ago, when it was young. Cities were supposed to care for their people. One couldn't exist without the other. But Gotham bred bile rot. And to stop itself from weakening, it was tearing its inhabitants apart for fuel. That wasn't right. That was senseless. Batman was not supposed to hurt unwarranted, right? Right? Another flash in the corner of his eyes. Batman turned, saw a wide blue eye and a camera lens vanish behind a building. Before he could follow, just a step through the shadows, it would be so easy. Gunshots rang of the building a mile away, and Gotham screamed at him to go. He limped, ragged, towards the noise, dragging the wispy remains of a cloak behind him. Sometimes Batman could no longer make himself move. He would collapse in a pile of disjointed shadows, unraveling like yarn. Gotham would tell him to get out and look for the pale man with the red smile. But Batman couldn't. He didn't remember how, but he had been hurt. Moving was too difficult. Existing was too hard. He yearned for something he couldn't remember. Sunshine smiles on the gravy hands, literary quotes, and baking days. Hours driving back and forth to school with loud, shrieking kids. Smiling, even as the sun made him ache to his bones. But all he had left was emptiness and a growing hunger he couldn't quell. On those nights, Batman would crawl to the darkest place he could find, a cave under a house that smelled like dust and sadness. He knew this house, but he didn't know why. There were so many things he was ignorant of now that he didn't question it. Just settled down into the depths, formless and dying, and tried to hold on to whatever pieces of himself were left. As the nights wore on and Gotham still couldn't find the man with the red smile, Batman spent more and more time in the tunnels, unmoving, decaying, a second away from unraveling completely. His recollections were dim, and the place his heart should have been was a festering wound. It was likely he would die down there. He couldn't bring himself to be sad about it. At the moment, all his emotions were directed at the thing he couldn't remember. As he closed his eyes, Batman quietly wondered how long it would take to fade. When the boy arrived, nobody greeted him. In days before, when life was bright and laughter was frequent, Alfred would have been at the knocker in moments. He was the soul of caregiving, brought to life by desperate hearts, and was always the first to greet a visitor. But the butler wasn't there now. He had faded to near invisibility, seeping back into the walls to grieve. Wayne Manor was left to rot, its walls concaving and roof buckled. Webs crowded the corners like a funeral shroud, and the air smelled like freshly turned earth. Without its residents, home became a grave. Batman was barely any better, although his body refused to fully wither, persisting despite his best efforts. The shadows were too stubborn to fade completely, even it was all his heart desired. Gotham didn't make weak creatures. He was cursed to survive, no matter how painful a process it was. Vengeance was a disease, and it needed its carrier to be a plague. But Batman was ebbing. His form wavered, his consciousness bleak. He needed sleep to heal, but that was a bad idea. There was a reason he couldn't do that, wasn't there? Alfred had gone almost completely dormant, so he kept himself awake by the skin of his teeth, spending instead long stretches of time in the Batcave, little more than the dark that cluttered every corner. It wasn't wakefulness, but it wasn't sleep either. A halfway limbo, where only his pain remained. Sometimes, Batman's ocean of grief quelled enough to give him a tinkling of awareness. The cave was cold and wet, but the Batcomputer glowed warm. It had things on it. Memories? Important ones he hadn't wanted to forget, but Batman couldn't look at them without sobbing. They were reminders of what he had lost, good things that were impossible to get back, so he put them away and forgot them, determined to save himself that pain, if nothing else. He was a shadow in a lightless room, swamped in non-existence. Nothing real touched him, and nothing but the mission mattered. Alfred grieved around him, so hurt by the death of one he loved that there was no awareness left for anything else. Creatures like the butler did not recover from loss. It was one of the few things that could kill them, and there was nothing Batman could do to help. So, there they stayed, dying as they breathed, until a boy knocked on the manor door. Nobody answered, but that didn't deter him. All it took was a rusty axe from a shed, and Timothy Drake invited himself inside. As Batman quickly found, he had no plans to leave. Batman didn't want to be Bruce again. Playing human had only gotten him hurt and Jason dead. Better never to go down that road again. But the boy was annoyingly persistent. He kept coming back, even after all the times that Bruce threw him into the woods via an angry swirl of shadows. Tim would just return the next night, armed with a brighter flashlight and the bat repellent, and launch into another spiel about light and darkness. No amount of screaming, writhing darkness, or stonewalling deterred him. The boy was irritatingly determined to save a creature unable to obtain salvation. Other beings could have happy endings, but Bruce didn't even have an end. His foray into human-like existence had been a mistake, and he knew better to give it another shot. But Tim's heart shone so bright, and whether Bruce liked it or not, fed him, just like Jason and Dix had. The Batman was made out of belief. He was what others made him, and Tim wanted, with his entire soul, for Bruce to get better. And slowly, but surely, it worked. Long nights passed, spent in bitter battles of will between the boy and the bat. Batman, vengeful by nature but severely weakened, bared his teeth and dug in his heels. He tried removing the boy from the cave again, but it failed. Next, he tried fear, then silence. Then was too unraveled to do anything at all. Gotham's fingers were still twisted around his spine, janking him into the city whenever Batman gained enough strength to solidify himself. He lost time, too much to quantify, and ironically, it was only the boy's attempts to reach him that kept him grounded. He wouldn't give up, kept coming back. After a while, he stopped leaving. The two of them were stranded in the cave, all the lights smothered, the only sounds, the rustle of bats and the boy's breathing, followed by Tim talking to Batman, always talking in a rasped voice, always fighting to be heard. I tried to find Nightwing, but Gotham doesn't want anybody leaving town, Tim said one night. Sitting on the dusty training mats Alfred had dragged down to the cave years ago. I can't even Google things anymore, but I know he still loves you. He's probably trying to come home. Bruce's grunt was the rumble of disturbed earth. Dick had left so long ago and never come back. He had said something about finding himself, but Bruce figured he had finally grown tired of living with a monster. Who wouldn't? Bruce was tired of being one. You need a light, Tim said, placing his hand against the cave wall. Shadows don't mean anything without something to contrast with. Let me help you, please. You're the best part of Gotham. I couldn't stand losing you. The boy was earnest. There was no lie in his voice, and Batman shuddered at the raw love he felt emanate from the child. Tim meant every word, and they were damning. The only thing Batman couldn't resist was hope, and Timothy Drake had it in spades. Batman didn't want to stay like this, puppeted by Gotham and torn to shreds by his grief. His memories clamored in their box, begging for relief. Too many parts of himself had been lost. The rest were buried. But nothing would get better unless he dug them out himself. Gotham bristled with him, twisting itself deeper into his body. It was tired, too, but it still thirsted for blood. Vengeance, not mercy, was what fueled Batman. He needed to bend to it. And yet, the boy was here, and he was light and love. A choice was made, born out of longing and pain. Gotham tried to yank him back, but Batman dug in his heels. That trick would have worked days ago, but there was another anchor he could grab onto now. The Dark Knight fed on human hearts, and Tim had offered his freely. As long as he had the boy, Batman could sever that link to Gotham. He reached for it, a hand peeling itself out of the shadows as claws outstretched themselves for Tim. Gotham howled, trying to chain him back to it. But it was tired, too. Something had been taking its attention, wearing it down day by day, and Bruce, exhausted as he was, had a chance. Memories danced behind his eyes, bright spots like fireworks against the moonlit night. Names and faces bled back into his soul. Jason, Dick, Babs, every person he had forgotten came back, including himself. Sharp eyes and dark hair, a square jaw and a mouth predisposed to smile. All aged up, like the boy kept existing after he had been swallowed whole.
I must say, I am surprised. I thought he was dead, Alfred said.
So did I, Batman said. Bruce's ragged, weathered form solidified into a vaguely human shape. He crumpled against the floor, clutching his heart as he breathed air for the first time in a while. The damp cave air pressed against his new skin, deliciously sensitive, as tears rolled down his face. His face, not Batman, Bruce's. He hadn't lost it, despite what he had thought. It was difficult to maintain. His skeleton wavered, misting back into shadow. Gotham tried to reach out, but Bruce slapped it back, ripping himself further away from it. His form flickered again, weaker than he ever recalled. He didn't. He needed to ground himself. A light shone on him, blindingly bright. Bruce squinted against it, skin burning from the glare, and looked at the boy holding the flashlight. A small, swallow-faced Tim, with eyes wider than chicken eggs, and a heart big enough to beat for two. Batman, the boy whispered. Moments later, Tim dropped the flashlight, and Bruce had his arms full of a skinny teenager who was hugging him with koala strength.
"You're back! You're back!" Tim whispered. "I knew you would listen!"
Bruce hugged him, pressing his face into Tim's hair. It was unwashed and oily, uncared for, neglected. The Dark Knight's exhale was shaky. How long had he been down here? How long had Tim?
"It was so scary without you around," Tim said. "The real you, not whatever Gotham was doing when it was controlling you. It doesn't know how to do anything except hurt people, but you're different. You're good."
Tim continued to babble,
as Bruce hugged him tighter, his cape wrapping around them both. He didn't believe a word of the boy's speech. The Dark Knight had existed long before hope was a concept in this city. He was retribution, not love. Those gentle feelings had been taught to him by a stubborn circus bird and were dusty with misuse. Batman was not good. At some point, he would have to make sure Tim understood that. But for now, the boy was skinny and cold, even as his body heat made Bruce warm. Dick had been the same. So had Jason. Sweet, perfect Jason. How had Bruce forgotten that name? The cave was a mausoleum, and suddenly Bruce couldn't stand it. Why was one of the living in a tomb for the dead? Why was he? He shook himself, then wrapped him and Tim deeper in the shadows. He needed to help this child. Justice and vengeance could wait. Being on demand was peculiar. Some days, Bruce felt fine. He could almost fool himself into thinking there wasn't a hole in his heart, leaking black blood and misery. Others, Bruce wouldn't even be Bruce. He stayed as a figment of a consciousness, too amorphous to even be real. Tim was good at fixing that. Tim was good at fixing many things, even though he was the one who needed the most help. Bruce would be fine. No matter how much he wanted to lose himself, Gotham would make sure he didn't die. But Tim was small and squishable. He needed to be cared for. Bruce was not entirely sure how long he had been in what Tim dubbed a bad place. But enough time had passed that he didn't think he wanted to find out. Even now, Bruce's glitchy, grief-stricken state had made it hard to focus for more than a few moments. One moment, he would be fussing over his new charge. The next, it would be 3 days later, and Tim was coaxing him out of the walls again. It was irritating, but when Bruce was gone, Gotham would take the reins. The two of them were locked in a subconscious battle for control, and 90% of the time, Bruce would win. The last 10% was why there was still an influx of admitted patients in Gotham General Hospital. Tim had a whole presentation on the flooded ER clinics and injury rate, which had skyrocketed since Jason's death. "Is that how you found out?" Bruce said, unknotting a snarl from Tim's hair and waking to his rebellion against his host city. He had found that the closer he kept the boy, the easier it was to stay solid. Gotham couldn't get its hooks into him as easily when he was with Tim, though Bruce still felt half dead from exhaustion. Tim swatted his hand away, even though his hair was matted. "No way. I knew what you were forever ago. Dick was a show-off, and whenever you get dumped, there's a power outage somewhere in the city. It wasn't hard to connect the dots." "What a clever boy." Tim was bright, but not just intellectually. He had a sharp, needle-like soul that pierced through fog. His eye for detail, while impressive, was rooted in an almost compulsive need to unravel things or stitch them together depending on his mood. Tim liked mystery and had a will strong enough to dig into the grisliest of them without a second thought. It reminded Bruce of his other sons, both lost to him, Jason under the blistering sun, and Dick... Bruce didn't know where Dick was. He had always been a free spirit, running to the corners of the world and never looking back. Maybe now that Jason was gone, he had finally washed his hands of Gotham completely. Maybe now he knew Bruce wasn't a good father and didn't want to come back. Thinking like that made Bruce bleed black, so he tried to take his mind off things by looking after Tim. It was difficult, however, because Tim seemed confused about who was meant to help who. He kept trying to take care of Bruce, which was wrong. Bruce had studied humans closely, so he knew that parents were supposed to look after their smaller humans, and it didn't work the other way around. "Bea, I'm not your kid," Tim said for the 10th time. By then, it had been nearly 2 weeks. "Just your Robin, and even that is just a technicality." Bruce stared at him, visibly confused, before shoving the plate of instant pancakes at him again. Clearly, the boy needed nutrients if he thought Robins didn't count as children. Besides, Tim wasn't a real Robin yet. Bruce had just given him the costume and some pants because Tim looked cold in his street clothes. The winter suit had thermal lining, and his bird bones needed it. But now that Bruce was thinking about it, he would better teach Tim how to defend himself, or at the very least how to get even if someone hurt him. Bruce was good at that. He could add compound interest in spades, and he liked when his sons could too. "Bea, for the last time, I can't stay here," Tim said, squirming in Bruce's trundles. "I have to go home. I'm going to be declared missing if I don't go back soon." Bruce said, condensing an entire commentary on Tim's hum into a monosyllable. "Shut up," Tim said, hunching his small shoulders. "It's not that bad." Bruce paid that comment no mind. He had looked at the Drake's house himself, and it was definitely that bad. There was no food in the fridge, and no cave under the foundation, and no bats at all. How was Tim supposed to grow up properly? His parents were terrible. Besides, the boy had spent all that time in the Batcave without anybody caring, so obviously he could remain at the manor without issues. How was Bruce supposed to take care of someone if they weren't there? That was a serious hole in Tim's argument. For such a clever kid, he should have known better. The obvious solution was to keep Tim. His parents wouldn't mind, or they would have taken him with them wherever they had gone. It was, as Dick would say, a win-win. The only problem was that the longer Tim stayed in the Wayne Manor, the more tired he got. He went from wandering the halls all hours of the night to sleeping 13 hours a day in a matter of weeks. Bruce knew teenagers needed lots of rest, but this felt excessive. He poked the kid as Tim's eyes started to droop again. Tim yelped and sat up straight, hair flattened to his forehead.
"Bea, stop, I'm fine."
Tim's next sentence turned into a yawn, and Bruce used that as an excuse to bundle the teen into as many blankets as he could find and make him stay the night. It turned out, Tim adored fluffy comforters, and once Bruce pulled those out, the grumbles about needing to go home almost stopped completely. By the end of the week, Tim stopped trying to sneak back to his sad, empty house and resigned himself to being fussed over. His hair was combed, he got clothes that fit, and Bruce was relearning how to cook so he could fatten him up. Tim was far too skinny. "I thought you had a butler," Tim said, gnawing on a piece of unbuttered toast several weeks into his stay. Where'd he go? Bruce paused his attempt at making a breakfast smoothie. He's sleeping. He could feel Alfred in the walls, enduring the strain of losing Jason with what little grace he had left. The butler was so faint, it was hard for even Bruce to know he was there. Alfred had bonded so closely with Jason, losing him had been a knife to his heart. Or at least, what passed for a heart. Like you were? Tim said, leaning into the shadow trendle that was wrapped around his shoulders.
No,
Bruce said softly.
I was still somewhat awake.
It would take time for Alfred to come back. Months, if not years of care. They were lucky they hadn't lost him completely. Bruce didn't like to think of what would have happened if he had. Dick was the first human he had found, but Alfred had been the beginning of his family. There was nothing that could replace him.
Oh, Tim said. Well, then we'll just have to let him rest. Maybe he'll sleep better now that I'm here.
Bruce managed a small smile and ruffled Tim's hair with a passing shadow.
I'm sure he will, Bruce said. If there was one thing he could count on, it was Alfred's delight at new charges. Once he saw how desperately in need of care Tim was, he would have no choice but to roust himself out of his slumber.
There were Gotham nights, good nights, and bad nights. When Gotham wrestled Bruce into being its puppet, something getting far less common thanks to Tim, the boy put his Robin outfit and sprinted through the city, looking for shadows to throw himself at. On the good ones, Bruce made Tim bowls of cereal with extra marshmallows and tucked him into a cot on the Batcave. Neither liked to sleep upstairs. Without Alfred, it felt dead. Tim would always insist he was too old to be babied, but ended those nights curled up on Bruce like a cat, more comfortable in the shadows than he seemed to be anywhere else. On the bad nights, Bruce would barely make himself move. He and Tim would swatch themselves in the deepest recess of the cave and rest. Tim slept long those nights, almost corpse-like. It was all Bruce could do to stay awake and not slip into the hibernation sleep he needed to heal faster. With the boy's belief in him, Bruce was knitting himself together each night, but it was slow-going, grueling even. The bad nights were the most common of the lot. If Bruce had the capacity to think rationally those nights, he would wonder why Tim could never stay awake for more than a couple of hours. When he did, his speech became slurred and his actions clumsy. But he was always back to normal the next day, and Bruce's recollection of the night before was blurry. All he could focus on was getting better and wrapping Tim in the tightest shadows so nobody could ever hurt him like they had Jason. Here, Tim would be safe. Bruce would make sure of it with every shadow left in his body. So focused was he on keeping Tim hidden in the deep shadows of his cape that Bruce almost missed the shamble of footsteps from the mouth of the cave. It took far too long to open his eyes and squint at the shape near the bat computer. It was a person. They were saying something. No. Calling for someone. They were limping, covered in grime. The pattern on their suit, once bright blue, was streaked with mud and asphalt chunks. Their face was pitched in a heartbroken frown, even though it was meant to be sunshine and smiles.
Bruce, please, are you here? Dick said, voice raw, I'm back. I'm home. You can come out.
Bruce?
He turned and met Bruce's eyes. His son, his baby, choked as he ran towards him, limping on a bad leg as he flung himself across the cave. Bruce clung to him with equal strength, apologies falling off his tongue. Disbelief and hope rolled off him. Back. Dick had come back. In the dusty, empty cave, another heart began to beat. Tim, Dick, and Bruce's patchwork work were all together, and they worked in tandem. Not all was well. Gotham still ground its teeth in the back of Bruce's mind. Tim still wouldn't eat enough, and Jason was gone. But for the first time, it felt like things were actively getting better. Bruce was a creature of the night, but it felt like he was finally about to see dawn. As long as he had his boys, anything was possible. The end. Author notes. Bruce, once he's decided to take care of Tim,
I'm keeping you. No takebacks.
Tim, but...
Bruce, chucking him into his cape. Mine, now.
Tim. Zero effort to escape. Thus, kidnapping.
Honestly, I think Tim kidnapped himself to be...
Once Dick is home and the family settles back in, the manor's creaks grow quieter and a cup of tea appears on one of the desks, warm and steaming, just in time for a pre-patrol snack.
Reader's notes. That makes me sad.
But Dick is back, and the next installment is Dick-centric, I think.
I'm pretty sure. Yeah. And then it's the return Alfred. I actually didn't know Dick was going to be appearing in this, so I'm happy about that. Also, Tim let him sleep. I recorded Cass's installment, which comes after this, so I knew Tim would be sleeping a lot, but oh, baby. Anyway, I hope you enjoyed. Thank you for listening, and please remember to drink some water today.